Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
All right, welcome. Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 58. Jeff Lowe, Trill Ballins, Ken Jack. It's a Sunday podcast. It's the last podcast of June? No, second to last podcast of June. We're kind of coming up sort of close on 1 year of this podcast. We're not that far off, crazy enough as that seems. What's going on, guys?
Not too much. It's a hot one out there. Is it hot in New York City?
Yeah, humid too.
Oh. Miserable. What do you guys do? Get some shaved ice on the High Line? Some real New York stuff?
Shaved ice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what you guys do there. Get a dollar slice.
Yeah, we just do the water dogs. We saw Jurassic World and Tag today. We won't talk much about either because we're going to discuss them in the week. But one we liked a lot, the other we did not, which is interesting because both have been received critically kind of the same, but there was one we liked a lot more than what's critically being perceived, which actually ties me into what we're doing this week. Told Ken Jack this earlier, Trill, you're actually finding out right now. We're going to pick 10 movies, like try to come up with our top 10 as best as we can, our top 10 movies that we think we like that critics hate. You're going to do that as well, listeners, and then we're going to add up all the Rotten Tomatoes scores. And whoever has the lowest combined Rotten Tomatoes scores, I guess, wins, has the biggest discrepancy between themselves and the critics. That could be fun, you know? Curious what everyone picks. So that's that for this week. Let's get right into it. Let's jump right into this whole thing. The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot. It's a movie with Sam Elliott. Crazy-looking poster. What do you guys think about this one so far?
I like Sam Elliott. So him on that poster looks pretty cool. It's a crazy title. When you sent it to me for the rundown, I thought it was two separate movies. I thought it was The Man Who Killed Hitler and also Bigfoot, like Bigfoot the movie. So me reading the article, breaking down into the details of the movie, it looks kind of interesting. One thing I found interesting was Ron Livingston got the and billing on the poster. So he's and billing's pretty special. He's coming up in the world, old Ron Livingston.
Office Space is a great movie.
Is there someone riding a Ducati outside of your apartment?
Yeah, they're doing donuts right outside my window.
It's like a crazy Fast and the Furious movie being filmed. We should have just played that off like that. Yeah, but I agree. This is a wild movie. Also, Ken Jack and I walked into the theater today and saw a poster for another Nazi movie. And then there's a smaller Nazi movie involving Scarlett Johansson and Taika Waititi. So
Taika Waititi, yeah.
Strange. Just a bunch of those coming out. But I mean, this one, it reminds me a lot of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Like, that's the same, I guess, at least in the poster, same vibe that I get. So
it's like it's going to be out there. We don't know much more about it other than the name of the movie, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's really all we know. It's premiering very soon at the Fantasia Film Festival in Canada. Ken Jack, you're kind of a historian, man, especially with Ward. Do you like these types of movies or do you like the more more realistic shit?
No, I don't think I didn't ever even watch Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. They're just not really my speed.
So do you think is he going to actually do what the title of the movie says he's going to do in the movie, or is that just the legend of his character? Like, is act one going to be him killing Hitler, and act two is going to be him killing Bigfoot, and then like flash forward to present day? I'm really curious to see, because it could just be the legend of him and we don't actually get to see the title of the poster in the movie.
There's someone playing a Nazi officer and a concentration camp prisoner. So, well, I mean, I guess you're going to see that time a little bit, maybe a flashback. I don't know. When Inglourious Basterds was happening, I never thought you'd see Hitler at any point. And then obviously you did. I mean, it sounds like it's wacky enough. A lot of the people involved with the movie do not have Wikipedia pages, which typically shows you that it's going to be a bit out there and different and unique. So,
well, okay.
Interesting. So, one.
It sounds like I found a description via, I think, our friends at Collider. So shout out to them. So I guess him assassinating Hitler is in the past, and him taking out Bigfoot on behalf of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police is going to be in the present. The man who killed Hitler and then trying to kill Bigfoot should maybe be a more accurate description, because he has yet to kill Bigfoot. Title. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of less you know what happened. Maybe he killed some other sort of crazy figure, like a Yeti or something. You just don't know
Bigfoot
yet.
Bigfoot 2.
Yeah, the second.
Bigfoot, and then gets Bigfoot 2.
Or like a guy dressed as Bigfoot trying to pull one over people's eyes. I don't know. So yeah, so that was an interesting one. I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one. I can imagine that won't be out in many theaters. It seems like a very small movie, at least to start, despite Ron Livingston and Sam Elliott being tied to it. Next up, didn't want to lead with this, but needed to talk about it, the Star Wars Lucasfilm debacle. Lots of news in that last week, lots of, I guess, misinformation. First, people said they were done with Star Wars story movies. So after Solo and what people considered, I mean, I guess Lucasfilm, it was in a sense saying it was a failure, like box office wise, which it was, but it sounded like they were going to cancel like the Boba Fett movie, the potential Obi-Wan movie, and then future ones. But then it came back saying that's not true. They're just kind of holding off on them. So not totally out of the picture. I initially was okay with it, like, because I knew they were eventually going to do other ones. But like, let's step back for a second. Let's realize what you guys did. I mean, whether you liked Solo or not, it was marketed terribly. I mean, they did no justice for that film. They're the ones who put that film in the position it ended up being in. I mean, there's really no question about it. They had like 3 months to be marketed, 3 months for people to understand it. Rogue One was successful because I think Rogue One, they hammered it down people's throats. Like very early on, they explained what it was. This one was too close after the last one, and then there wasn't enough time to promote it. So I think it's their fault, no matter what they want to say. But I guess they're just going to hold off on the other ones. There's some rumors that the Obi-Wan movie might be on the Disney streaming service, which we kind of like these Netflix movies, so that might not be the worst thing in the world. But
yeah, but that sets a lower bar for the Obi-Wan movie. Sure. That's saying like, well, it might be on Netflix, so temper your expectations.
I mean, it's no Bright, but yeah, I mean, what are some thoughts here? Because those are my opinions, but I mean, how do you guys feel about if they either shelve them or if they're just delayed?
Well, I mean, I think they should delay them and figure out the release schedule, because I'm not sure they're at a point right now where they can do more than one Star Wars movie in a year. And I think they had to come out with a consistent release schedule that people know every November or December there is going to be a Star Wars movie. Because previously it had been like that, right? Like Force Awakens, Rogue One, right? So Force Awakens was 2015, Rogue One was 2016, then 2017, obviously The Last Jedi, and then boom, in May you had Solo. And we're not going to have another Star Wars movie until 2019. I can't remember if that's May 2019 or holiday December. 2019. Yeah, so we got a long way to go. So I think, the next one we'll see, yet to be titled, third installment of this latest trilogy we're working on, and then maybe they'll get back to going every year. I'm not sure we can do two Star Wars films a year. Maybe we could if they were really good, but we're not at a point where they can just put Solo out and people are going to flock to it based on the name alone. Maybe they're just doing a heat check there, though. This is a little experiment. Just heat check. People going to see this, even with all the production issues? I think the answer is kind of, but not to the extent that we'd really want. So live and learn. Again, I am not too terribly upset that they are pushing back some of these movies, because take time to work on it. And also, we got that Last Jedi fan remake coming out to look forward to. So, you know, once that hits, I'll be fully satiated.
I think they definitely got a little big for the britches. Maybe saw what Marvel was doing, making money by releasing like 1,000 movies a year, and thought they could replicate it. They just kind of can't, because people get more fatigued from that, because there's less variety in Star Wars than there is in superhero fandom.
So
I'm fine with them taking a quick break. It's not a huge deal, as long as I don't want them to be canceled, because I think as much as I disliked Rogue One, I still think it was fun to watch, and as much as I loved Solo, I still don't want them to be like, I just don't want them to be canceled. I think it would be nice to take a little break, maybe stagger the releases a little bit more, like Trill is saying, maybe have a set release schedule instead of it being all over the place, and then I'll be, you know, you get, you know, I don't know, build the anticipation a little bit more.
Or just, you know, maybe if they do cancel the Star Wars story, it's not a bad thing. Let's do some new original stories. Whatever Ryan Johnson's working on, whatever the Game of Thrones dudes are working on, like, let's put the resources in that. Because I think that's more interesting than finding out how Han Solo got his name. I don't care.
It doesn't need to be told. You said it right, Ken Jack, is that there's less variety. But here's the thing. That's on their doing. Like, expand the fucking universe. Like, do it. Like, just make different stuff. I mean, that's how you make it less fatigue-y, because, like, that's the thing. It's Han Solo. I mean, I liked Solo. I liked Rogue One a little bit. Like, still, it's Darth Vader. It's Han Solo. Then you had Luke. And it's like, all right, like, I like those characters, and I know the big dumpy pants $200 million remake Last Jedi people, which good luck on making that one. Like, I know they love their original characters and all, but, like, let's try something new. If it fails, it fails. Like, I mean, that's the nice thing with Marvel. Like, Marvel's willing to take risks with some things, with Guardians, and they're going to make some wacky stories down the road. So try something new. Just do something a little different, and then, Luke, you know, you may not have these issues.
Luke uses the Force and transforms into the body of Anakin Skywalker, played by Hayden Christensen, and has an epic lightsaber duel with Yoda on top of a Star Destroyer.
That crashes into the Death Star.
One question about that, though, that remake, right? Let's say they did get it fully funded. Let's say Warren Buffett was like, God, I really want to see this, and just diverted some secret cash. They would never get the licensing, but let's say they did. Does J.J. Abrams then have to take this story into consideration now? Like, how are they gonna work it? It's not canon, but they're trying to remake it like it is canon, and J.J. Abrams is going to... So are they just going to make a third one, too? A fan-made third one to coincide with the ending of the Last Jedi remake? It's crazy to think about. I mean, it's such a stupid story because it's an obvious... I don't want to say it's a joke, but it's just like... It's a way to voice displeasure in a way that gained some traction. And obviously, it got a lot of attention. So, you know, joke or not, like, people thought they were serious, so... I don't know.
I'm like pretty sure they're serious, dude. I love Ryan Johnson quote tweeted it like, please, please, please let this happen. Cause you know, it would suck. You know, it would be awful. Like, there, I could almost assure you it would be an absolutely terrible movie, because most Star Wars fan ideas, they stink. I mean, that's the same with me too. If I came up with 50 Star Wars stories, I'm sure maybe one or two would be worth it. But I actually hope it happens. I hope they get funded in some sort. Be kind of funny to see what they could create. Because, like, I mean, George Lucas laid out his plan for a sequel trilogy, and oof, I did not like that. That would have been a bit of a bummer. So that's Star Wars, the Ford versus Ferrari movie, which is about the, it's really a car movie. It's not like a, you know, two guys racing story. Christian Bale is going to be playing Carroll Shelby, the designer of Ford's GT40, and then Christian Bale will be his driver, Ken Miles. So, excuse me, the other way around, Matt Damon. Yeah, Carroll Shelby. Yeah, and it's directed by James Mangold, who did Logan. I don't know. I don't think Matt Damon and Christian Bale have been in the same movie, right? Not that I can think of. I like this team up. This intrigues me. I tell you, the story we read about it, though, also talked about Death on the Nile, the sequel or, like, another movie along Murder on the Orient Express, and I didn't even want to read that half of it because I just really don't need to see another one of those movies. But the Ford versus Ferrari thing, I was intrigued with. I like James Mangold, and I like these two actors, obviously. I mean, I'm a big Matt Damon fan despite downsizing, whatever the fuck that was.
You know what? I got a Bernstein Bear theory. I think Matt Damon is probably in The Fighter because that takes place in Boston. Can't verify it, but I'm pretty sure he was.
He's Mr. Cameo. So, like, that could have been in there. We didn't know. Like, yeah, just, yeah, not a bad theory.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm looking up the movie now.
All right, never mind. I thought he produced or something, but he just he originally had Christian Bale's role, but then dropped out to film The Martian.
Yeah, this looks really cool. This looks like a nice original story. Get a good movie concept going. I like the automotive. I bet there are a lot of great stories in the automotive industry and the racing sport or industry to go into. So this might be pretty interesting. And Mangold is awesome. 310 to Yuma obviously is one of my favorites. What's it?
That was obvious. I didn't know that you're a 310 to Yuma stan.
Oh, nah, maybe not. Maybe it's not obvious. I thought I've said it on the podcast. I know I've gone in like on the Twitter account and talked about my love for Ben Foster in 310 to Yuma before. But yeah, I love 310 to Yuma. So I'm excited about this. Kind of interesting, though. Did you see where John Cena, I guess, was sued by Ford for selling his GT?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I can't remember if it's the GT40 or the GT50. Like one was the classic car and one was the more updated remake of that. But I think, you know, when you buy these things, they only make like 50 to 100 of them. They're not big production runs and they make you sign contracts that you'll be like the exclusive owner of the car if they give you rights to buy it. And I think he sold it and Ford sued him for doing that, violating his contract. That's to simplify it. I don't remember. I can't remember if he lost or not. Anyway. That'd be an interesting movie, too, with John Cena playing himself, like Ford versus Cena.
Yeah, maybe that's a sequel to Ford versus Ferrari. It's a whole universe. It's going to open up June 28th, 2019. It'll be up against a Tiffany Haddish comedy, Limited Partners. And then it says also Chris Pratt's movie, Cowboy Ninja Viking, that comic book movie, which that'll be interesting. That's the way that movie reads when you read about descriptions and articles. That could be a wild one. Moving on. Shia LaBeouf teaming up with David Ayer. What are we thinking about Shia LaBeouf in a movie? It's a movie about a tax collector and crime thriller tax collector. Is that what it's called? I didn't quite understand this when I was reading it. But David Ayer, obviously, he's currently doing Bright 2. He did Bright. And he's also going to be working on the DC spinoff Gotham City Sirens. And he also did the fantastic comic book movie Suicide Squad. So what are we thinking here about Shia LaBeouf? We haven't talked much about Shia LaBeouf. Where are we at with Shia LaBeouf?
He's been laying low, right? What's like the last major release he's been in?
Fury.
Indeed. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right.
That was like 3-4 years ago, right? It was like
4 years ago, yeah. Unless there's one I can't think of, but I think that was the last one I remember him prominently being in.
Oh, man, I'm fine with Shia's okay. I mean, he's been in some movies I haven't liked, and he's been in some movies I thought were pretty good. I don't know if he has a real like standout performance in a movie.
Yeah,
like, looking through his filmography, like Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps. I mean, Transformers, Maniac.
What was
Fury, Man Down?
What was the one movie where there's that murderer that moves across the street? Oh, Disturbia.
Disturbia. Yeah.
Disturbia wasn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible.
That was like pre. Like Shia transitioned into almost a meme-like character. Like, and that was like his Disney days, I feel like, or his post Disney days, where he was still like the whole Shia LaBeouf, you know?
Yeah, he went from like a nerd to like edgelord, and just the transition does not suit him at all. He's gonna play tax collector.
His fashion sense is pretty crazy. He wears some like crazy stuff. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
So it's Jonah Hill though, and Jonah Hill rules, and Shia kind of sucks.
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Yeah, Jonah Hill does rule. Jonah Hill's fits have been he's on a tear right now.
Yeah, he is. He is. Yeah. Tax collector. So this is not a follow up to The Accountant, right? I mean, this is
not.
could be in the same universe. I don't know.
Could be in the same universe as Robin Hood.
I don't know enough about.
Oh, wait, I don't know enough about this. Sorry to cut you off on the tax collector. Have you seen the Robin Hood movie with Taron Egerton?
Taron Egerton? Yeah, where it's like set in medieval times, but like all their clothes were made in the Lululemon factory. It's like no open seams anywhere. I mean, and like I'm not even like a tailoring guy, but I was like noticing, I'm like, that looks like dry fit material that on his like van braces or whatever.
I am hardcore out on that movie. Big time. And I love Jamie Foxx and Jamie Dornan's in it too. But man, just Ken Jack, you said it like after what's its face? King Arthur. Why make a movie like that? Like who is looking for a movie like that?
Yeah. You know what I want more Robin Hood media. I have just not gotten enough of the Robin Hood story that I need another Robin Hood movie.
That's, when was the last one that came out? The Robin Hood 2010.
The Russell Crowe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be good. I was so wrong.
Yeah, I did too. I was very excited for that one, but no, it didn't work. I just, man, I for some reason hadn't seen that teaser, by the way. It's been out for a long time too. I was just not, not good into movie. It.
Good movie about taxes. Shawshank Redemption. You know, little tease for you on that Shia LaBeouf movie.
I guess I'm excited about Tax Collector just from the name itself. They don't give you much here. You're just intrigued by the premise. Yeah. At least the working title is Tax Collector.
Oh, okay. I thought that was just this fucking subject. Oh, God.
That's what I said. It's the accountant. It's like, you know, very, very mundane title, which kind of makes you believe that subject matter is going to be very exciting, but we could be wrong. We don't know enough here. Need a little more. Give us a trailer. You want us to form an opinion? Give me a trailer.
What would be like the most mundane job title you could make into a title for a movie? Like, not necessarily a mundane job, but just like a lame job title.
Claims adjuster. The guy who balances the pH levels at the pool.
I mean, the social media manager would be pretty lame too.
Oh, yeah. That would be. Talk about a thing I would not want to see. Social media manager.
Like the circle? She wasn't managing social media, but she was doing like customer service at those terminals. Oh, that was such a boring part of that movie.
The whole movie was boring.
Yeah, I was like, as opposed to the rest of that movie, which was very exciting.
It just, that movie was a whimper from beginning to end. It was like, it was just tough. That was a tough movie to get through. Yeah, you DNF'd that.
Yeah, I didn't finish that. How could you expect me to? I got to Tom Hanks's cameras, and I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Like the most HD, high definition camera of the world with no power source.
Didn't you say it was like TED Talk, the movie? Like the whole thing was like just like Apple press conferences and TED Talks. It was just.
Oh, I didn't finish the rest of it. I got to his like internal press conference during Emma Watson's first week at the company. And I just was like, ugh, I can't do this.
You ever see someone whose job title is a social media czar? I've seen that before on a startup job.
I don't know why I feel like I have.
Yeah, czar in the title is just very, I hate that.
Who is that guy who used to work for AOL and you go on all the talk shows? Like he was like the social media guru or crystal ball guy or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Really? I don't know. I don't remember that one. What about social media influencer? I watched The Bachelor still and a lot of the contestants there, that's their title now, is social media influencer. Actually, one guy this year, his title was social media user. Just a user. He just has a Twitter account. Just has a Facebook.
No lie, I guess. I've seen that before. That'd be a decent thriller. Like, she sold fit tea to the wrong person and gets her address tracked down by somebody.
Or a movie.
Fit tea.
Yeah, a movie about being very online. You know?
I was trying to come up with an athlete comparison like that is very close to like where I'm at in my Twitter career right now. And the best I could come up with is Ken Griffey Jr. on the White Sox. I had fun on Twitter for a while and I made some good tweets for a bit. Oh. And then I declined in quality. Now I'm like Ken Griffey Jr. on the White Sox, which is like a hollow shell of their former selves.
Is that the team he was on where he fell asleep in the clubhouse?
I don't remember.
Fell asleep and missed the game?
I don't know. Great player though.
He was referenced in Tag. They brought Ken Griffey up in Tag. Pretty funny scene. Gets a funny movie. AMC came out with a movie pass competitor this past week, or they announced it. Very interesting, very intriguing. Basically, and Kenja, correct me if I'm wrong, because you understand the details better than me, but basically they open up three movies a week, and you can see them as many times you want during that week, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be like this week it could have been what do we just see? Jurassic World, and then I don't know, Book Club, and some other shit. So those you can see those anytime you want during the week, and you can see IMAX, you can see 3D, all for the same price, like $20 a month. But the difference between that and Movie Pass is that Movie Pass you can see one a day, and you can see any movie you want during that week. So that's a massive difference because you don't get a choice. Like Ken Jack and I, we go see movies, and you do Two Trill kind of, you know, a week or two after the release, like weird times of the day. You know, like I saw Book Club 2 weeks ago. I'm not sure Book Club would be part of those three because I assume AMC wants people to see some good movies. And now MoviePass is adding IMAX. So what do we think? Just a little quick critique of AMC's MoviePass competitor. I think you got to open up more movies there.
And 1999 is such a mentally tough price point because that's like, for me, that's like pricing for a phone data plan. Like now it goes from small incremental expense to like $20. Like, and I know there's not much of a difference between $14.99 and $19.99, but I feel like $14.99 at least makes you feel a lot better about it, especially since you don't have like full control over what movies you get to see. So a little too expensive. I mean, again, if whatever happens to MoviePass happens to MoviePass, but compared to the current iteration of MoviePass, I can't say it's better because it's more expensive and it gives you less options.
Yeah, they make you pay more. I think the biggest benefit is that you could select your seats ahead of time, which you can't do with MoviePass. Yeah. So like for me and Jeff anyway, we go to a lot of movies on the night it comes out. So we can't use MoviePass for that and end up paying full price for the movie. That is a huge disadvantage for MoviePass, but it's just way more expensive using the AMC one, and there's no rollover on these movies. So like if we had missed Jurassic World the first week, let's say, and it was the next week, we just can't see it through that program anymore, which like, well, like what the fuck? Like what's the point of even having it?
Yeah.
So I think it comes down to, especially since AMC or MoviePass just dropped that they're going to start screening IMAX and 3D movies with like a small bump in the price, like an upgrade fee. Like it just kind of, that's like the straw that breaks the camel's back in that comparison, that and the price point.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to change a little bit. Like, you can't launch with that. I don't know who would flock to that. Interesting, though. I mean, I think we're going to see much more of it, too. I think IMAX is going to be coming out with one, which that's a little harder, too, because IMAX, not every movie comes out in IMAX. Yeah, that was interesting. You knew it was coming because they said it was going to happen for a while. Now it's pretty close to being here. But we also saw Jurassic World today, and there was, like, nobody in our theater. Crazy opening weekend. Maybe
Sunday morning though. Come on,
maybe 15 people though noon. In a 3D theater.
Yeah, noon on a Sunday. Yeah, though I mean Tag, actually there was almost as many people in Tag, and that was at 9 a.m. Well, a guy that yawned very loud, by the way, just an insanely loud yawn. It was almost on purpose, which if it was, I respect that. He's just being a dick.
I feel as an AMC Stubbs Gold member, I'm not getting enough premium benefits with this movie pass. Like they need to give me like a gold movie pass.
Yeah,
you know, that has no differences except it just says gold movie pass.
I'm just surprised it's not as expanded as much. Like it's hard to call it a competitor when you're really not.
Like, and it also doesn't exist.
Yeah, true. This is probably a really bad example, but it's almost like a car company like coming out and like Tesla. It's one of the newer car brands, like a car company coming out and saying, yeah, we have a lot of these features, but it has three wheels. You know, it's like you're really not that much of a competitor because your options are really no way the same, especially if MoviePass adds IMAX. Then you're completely different. You're just literally a worse version, a more expensive, worse version. Yeah. Really what it comes down to. So we'll be interesting to see how many people sign up for this. And if this forces MoviePass, you know, kind of out of the way. I don't think it will yet, but I'm sure someone will come up with one that can successfully compete. So we'll have
to see. Can't AMC just block MoviePass? I mean, they could do that, right? Like they don't
I don't
have
know
to...
what the logistics are. I don't know what the logistics and the rules are there. I don't know if they can because I don't know. I mean, it's a credit card essentially for MoviePass. I don't know how they – I don't know. I really don't know. That is not an answer for me.
They legally can't block it because MoviePass is done through MasterCard, and they'd have to block every MasterCard thing, which I think is illegal.
Yeah. I think MoviePass blocked out certain theaters, right? Is that what it was?
They stopped syndicating to a few AMC theaters, and the only thing that they saw was that like their theater like attendance or whatever went down like 50%, and then the ones in the surrounding area all went up like 40% or something.
Makes sense. Yeah, so this is an interesting battle, and it wages on. Listener questions now, though. We're going to do a subreddit of the week. We got a good one, I think. On a first glance, it looked pretty funny to me. But some listener questions first. At what point of a movie would/do you walk out of due to it being so terrible? I feel like we've talked about this before, but like how many we've walked out of? Not many, but like at what point do you walk out of a movie? One that we almost walked out of, we talked about, was Maze Runner Death Cure. It wasn't awful, but it was so boring. And that was like probably an hour and a half in. I think it depends on the time too. Like an hour and a half movie total length, I'm just going to gut it out. But like a 2.5 hour movie, if it's like dragging on, I don't ever leave, but I have that thought like, leaving right now wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So I don't know where you guys stand with that, but like at what point are you like, oh, fuck this?
I think it's 30 minutes into the movie for me.
Ooh.
Well, I don't walk out of much though. When I do not finish a movie, it, like The Circle, it's on demand. I have a much higher tolerance for a bad movie when I'm actually in the theater because I'm there. I've driven there. I spent the time to, you know, get to my seat and get concessions and whatever. So they got me captive for the most part. But we all read the reviews going into it. So if I know that the movie is just generally not that good and it doesn't pick up in the last back half, and I'm like, wow, this, I am getting no enjoyment from this movie, then I'm not afraid to leave after 30 minutes.
It's fair enough. I think I could do an hour, and because I can sit and watch an hour of basically anything. It could be shitty TV, shitty movie, doesn't really matter. But I think at that point you realize if you're in a really bad movie or not. For me, it was 5 minutes into Boo 2, Madea, Halloween. But I didn't walk out of that because I was dedicated to the game. Unlike Trill, who walked out of Circle.
Well, no, I turned Circle off my TV.
Even worse.
If it's an hour, though, in my mind, I'm like, I've already been there an hour. So I'm just going to gut it out.
Well, I'm thinking maybe a longer movie.
To put into something.
I'm thinking Maze Runner-ish length, where it's okay. You have a long time left so to see, go. Like, it's like an hour and a half movie.
Roughly one third of the movie. Like, let's just say rough guideline is get through act one. And if act one has no promise of getting better by act two, then you're gone. You're in your subway car. You're in your car. You're just booking it. And sometimes if you go tell the manager it's bad, he'll give you your money back. She'll give you your money back. Done that one before.
Really?
Which really isn't fair to do that. Theaters. Yeah. Well, yeah.
What movie was it?
I don't remember. It's just
that's crazy. I like that. Damn, that's wild. I can't see that happening in New York. But I can see that happening in not a snobby city.
Well, one time, I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before, but I had like drop cam set up for my dogs, and I saw one dog had gotten out of the cage, and it was still a puppy, so I knew it was going to shit all over the place if it didn't leave. So I had to leave the movie. And I told the theater manager what happened, and he refunded me my tickets. So that was
you go to like the nicest theater. You have just nice
Midwest,
nice
man. It's Midwest.
Yeah. There's a guy at AMC that we go to that he always says, oh, yeah, let me refill your kernels, sir. And he said that again. I was like, oh, what a pleasant man. But yeah, what chain, Trill? Call him out. Shout him out.
Oh, it's Regal.
Looks like you're just a better patron than us, I guess. No. Okay.
I don't think that. I think it's situational. If it's peak hours and you're coming looking for a refund, they're probably not going to honor it. But if it's like 10 o'clock at night, you're saying I can't make the rest of the movie, they're not giving me my money back. I should say that. You're giving me a voucher for a future movie. So
oh,
they're still
going. Okay.
So in their mind, he already bought the concessions. He's just going to come back and buy more concessions. So it's kind of a smart business play.
Yeah, actually, it isn't. Yeah, not a bad business play at all. What's the first movie you remember thinking sucked? This is a good question. Because I think when you're a kid, you like almost anything.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, for the most part. But what's the first movie you remember seeing and going, oh, man, that was shit? Because, like, back when I saw Attack of the Clones, I loved Attack of the Clones. And I was 10? 11 years old? I think 11 years old. Maybe 10. I don't know. Something along those lines. And, yeah, anyway, I don't know. I'm having a hard time thinking about this. But what about you guys? Do you remember the first movie you think sucked?
Yeah, it was Street Fighter. I can't remember if it was 93 or 94. Let me do Street Fighter. 94 movie, okay? So 10-year-old me, right? I'm just getting out of this childhood period where everything is great. I really want to see Street Fighter because it's based off of one of my favorite video games. Go see Street Fighter and 10-year-old me could tell it was bad. And that was, yeah, that's always a moment because you're like, damn, movies can be bad. You realize it. Kind of like, damn, my parents are fallible human beings. Same thing.
Kangaroo Jack, probably.
Oh.
I think I was watching, who's the guy in that? Jerry O'Connell. I just remember watching it being like, wow, this is bad.
this is really bad. Why am I watching this right now? I was like at a cognizant moment of it just being shit.
You're 10 years old too, right? So 10 years old, the age.
Yeah, exactly, 10.
You're starting to develop tastes in movies, maybe?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Maybe mine is later. Hang on. Let's look it up here. Old as I don't want to embarrass myself by saying I like bad movies much longer in my life. I was 11. Master of Disguise. That was mine. For sure.
That was poop.
I liked SNL back then. Like I liked old SNL and like old Will Ferrell. And like I knew Dana Carvey. I was like, oh, Dana Carvey's really funny from SNL. I remember watching that and like, that was bad. That was really not good. So I think I'd have to go with Master of Disguise. And that'd have to be my pick. But what were you saying, Ken Jack? Continue.
I think League of Extraordinary Gentlemen came out that same year, and I loved it when I first watched it in theaters and then watched it 2 years later and realized it was a huge pile of shit.
I loved it when it first came out. I thought it was so badass. I may have pretended to read the book in middle school, actually. And
I was like, oh, shit, Sean Connery, a giant luxurious sea liner that's a submarine. Like, what's not to love? And then like a year later, I'm like, oh, yeah, everything. Every single thing in this movie was very bad.
Badass Tom Sawyer. Never forget.
Never acted again, that guy, in the entirety of his life. It's insane.
I always flip up Mystery Men and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen in my mind. I don't know why.
Wildly different.
Two completely different movies. No, it's just like a superhero cast that really wasn't very good in either situation.
You know what came out that year, too? Sorry.
What came out that year?
Bulletproof Monk. You ever watch that on FX at 3 o'clock on a random day? Ooh, it's very bad. It's very, very bad.
Who is the least intriguing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Is it the one in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or the one in the recent Mummy movie?
Was it Jason Fleming?
I think it was. I mean, they're very different characters. Yeah, Jason Fleming.
I like Jason Fleming. Good actor. I also like Russell Crowe. Good actor. I don't think either performances were very good. No, I don't know if I could pick between them.
Russell Crowe was more of a traditional transformation, I believe. Fleming's was like basically the Hulk. Like he just basically hulked out and became this massive beast. Oh man, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It's a fucking rough movie. But I agree. I did love it when it first came out. It was a fun time as a youngling. All right, moving on. This actually, we got this question last week too, so we got to answer it. They say we talk about Willy Wonka a lot, which we do. But what about the Johnny Depp one? What do you guys feel about the Johnny Depp Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? I can't stand it. I think it's horrible. Like, actually just, like, not good at all.
I don't think I cared for it, but I don't know if I hated it. I think when I watched it, I was like, this isn't different enough in a good way to make me consider this to be a value add to humanity.
Yeah. I think it didn't add anything to the first one. It wasn't better than the first one, and it wasn't, like you're saying, unique enough. It was like a pass for me, and it's relatively well critically received, right?
Yes, yeah, it is. And 82% around Tomatoes, it says closer to the source material than 1971 Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Who fucking cares? Who gives a shit close to the source material? Like, here you go. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is for people who like their chocolate visually appealing and dark.
It's not it's a fucking movie for people who jerk off the chocolate or people who like good movies. Like, it's supposed to be a good movie.
Yeah. Did Buddy Pounds get a review in on this one?
Maybe he did. I'm not sure Buddy Pounds can return for the sake of beating anything into the ground, but maybe he
putting a gobstopper in my mouth reminds me of the times I spent as a young 19-year-old boy working in the farms of Topeka.
Everlasting top stopper.
I don't like Charlie and Chocolate Factory at all, and I think the big reason why is that Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka is one of my favorite portrayals of any movie character of all time. Like, it's timeless, and I don't think that's like a crazy unique opinion either. He's incredible as Willy Wonka, and I think Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka was complete trash. Just a trash character and trash portrayal of Willy Wonka. Like, it was everything that made Willy Wonka's the Gene Wilder version so great. Like, it just wasn't there for Johnny Depp.
I don't really remember the character that well. All I can remember, it was like he was trying to do a cross between Gene Wilder's character mixed in with like Michael Jackson a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good comparison. Yeah.
Like, good so it was kind of weird because, yeah, I mean, those remakes are tough and you can't really coast into them. I guess I did critically on this one, you know, based off the personality of like one actor, but hey, they made the movie and it probably made a decent amount of money. Yeah, it made $475 million off of a $150 million budget. That's a lot of dough for this, but I didn't think it was horrible. It just, it's what it falls into that remake territory where most of them, you start with decent source material and you got enough money behind it, then your movie's not going to be below a 50 for me, but it also, it's not going to be much higher than a 65. I don't know. It just doesn't add much to the current collection of entries into the cinematic filmography of humankind.
Well, it's got the big remake issue that we talked about. Ken Jack and I did today, or just joked about briefly in the theater. It's like the Grinch that's coming out. Like, wonder how the Grinch is going to end. Like, where's the intrigue? Like, you know what's going to happen. Like, and if they do it, some sort of dark, weird twist where he really kills off Christmas, then credit to them. But like, it's the same with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You're like, I mean, pretty confident he's going to be flying in a glass elevator and get the Chocolate Factory. Well, I don't think there's going to be much of a variance there.
So let me say, though, as a dad of 8 weeks. So something like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and the Grinch, maybe I can understand more for the Grinch. I mean, the more G-rated you keep the movie, the more I can understand the point I'm about to make, but if a darker Chocolate Factory movie or like a more gritty and tone one doesn't make sense for this. So maybe canceled my point already. I can kind of understand remakes if they're, you're basing your audience off of parents who saw these movies as a kid and they're just itching to get their kids into the movies and share them with a new generation. You kind of had that built in bubble to, or whatever to tap there in terms of an audience. But, you know, as a 33-year-old guy who sits alone, like, and not a dad, I guess I don't really get it. But if you're like, you know, my kid's not going to watch the original because it looks like, to them, it looks like it was filmed in 1917, then maybe I can understand it. So, like, I mean, they do it to make money. And these movies make money because it's the IPs recognized already. But as standalone movies, they're not always great because they don't really add anything to it.
Yeah, that is a very good point. So, you know, remakes are going to be a lot more of them. We know that. That is for sure. They make money. Next, this is not really a question, as I just want to, or it is a question, but I just kind of want to help this person out. It says, when they release a big movie that the lunatics stay up to watch at midnight on the East Coast, do they release it at 9 p.m. on the West Coast so everyone can see it at the same time? I just want to state this. They don't do that anymore. Like, night of releases, like the day before, it's called a preview and it comes out at like 7 p.m. Like Avengers Infinity War, yeah, they had a midnight screening, but it came out at 7 p.m. However, to answer the second part of the question, no, the West Coast doesn't get it at 4 p.m. They get it still at 7 p.m. Pacific time or whatever time zone they're in. Here's another question. Speaking of remakes and sequels, definitive, make one pick each. What movie do you think should have a sequel that does not have one? I'll go ahead and say, and I say it all the time, it's National Treasure. We need the second Book of Secrets movie because that was too much of a cliffhanger. And I mean, the movie's okay. It's not even that amazing, but like, it was too intriguing. And like, the movies are fun enough where it's like, where's the third? Where's the third movie? The threequel? Where is the reading of the Book of Secrets? I want to know what the fuck's in it. Like, the whole movie was about finding the Book of Secrets. Let me see what's in those Book of Secrets. So I would love a sequel to National Treasure 2, which I forget the act. Oh, it's called Book of Secrets. Though you don't actually see the Book of Secrets until like the last scene.
I said it before. I'll say it again. District 9, I think, deserves to be revisited, in my opinion. And not much to add there. I'll try to think of something else, but just off the top of my head.
The Mist. Yeah,
that's what I always go back to.
The Mist?
Yeah, give The Mist a sequel. How he deals with murdering his whole family. Oops.
he's just sitting there depressed, just really fucking sad because he completely blew it at the end of the movie.
Yeah, it's fucking Larry David soundtrack playing as it starts.
Just him walking around there with how big of a shithead he is. Patience, man. Patience is a virtue. Yeah, that's my definitive one. I'm trying to think of what else sequel wise. I don't know. Can't think of anything that truly, truly needs a sequel. I think like most people would have said Incredibles 2 up until recently.
Yeah.
I feel like so that would have been very...
Are there any Pixar movies you'd like to see a sequel with?
A lot of them wrap up so well. That's part of the thing. Like, but then
it's what
again,
they said about
like,
cars. It's what they said about cars. And look at them; they're on eight.
That's tough. Inception would be one that I'd really like. Though that's not Pixar, but that's just one that comes to mind. I would love an Inception sequel.
The more I think about these movies, where I'm like, oh, I like this movie, I'd want a sequel. I'm like, well, maybe I wouldn't because they'd probably ruin it. They'd ruin the franchise. So maybe I don't want it. Kind of like what Ace Ventura 2 did. While a great movie, did not live up to the first one.
Are you a franchise ruining guy? Because I'm not a big franchise ruining guy. I'm able to compartmentalize like the first one from the second one if the second one ends up being ass. Like I didn't like the Crystal Skull Indiana Jones at all, but it didn't ruin the franchise for me.
Well, maybe ruin isn't the right word.
Well, it's fine. It's fine if movies can. If it's fine if that can do that to you. I'm just trying to find out more about your movie preferences because I know some people legitimately had the character of Luke Skywalker ruined for them in The Last Jedi. They've heard that before. And if you could go back and like you're like, if I'm watching A New Hope and I legitimately do not give a shit about A New Hope because I know Luke Skywalker ends up being some hermit living on an island who teleports somewhere to have a final battle then dies and there's less like riding on it because I know the conclusion, then fine. But for me, like that they kind of stand alone. I can like separate that out. By the way, I liked Last Jedi, so
I get what you're saying, Ken Jack, because like that's kind of my worry for Toy Story 4. I'm not sure if it's room, but like kind of it hurts the mystique of it a little bit because like it's something so good. Like it's funny because Toy Story is, I think, one of the best examples for what's coming out. Like Toy Story 1, it, by all counts, amazing. Toy Story 2, well, maybe not as great as the first, very close to being amazing, if not. And then Toy Story 3, some even regard as their favorite. So it's like it's crazy that 3 had been so good. But like, if the fourth is bad, like it'll be like, oh man, like, it kind of ruins, you know. Kind of.
I never told you guys this.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
That was a pretty funny revelation. Apparently, because you just left kind out of nowhere. Go ahead.
In the early days of LCP, you know, we had the best Pixar rankings, and we tried to come up with skits every now and then. and so I had one because you know Toy Story is related, and I was going to do one of like you've got a friend in me being like rehearsed for somebody. So Randy Newman was trying out the song, and his original version was "You've got your friend in you," like, and he kept singing it, and the studio heads were just like, "That doesn't sound right." But I couldn't do the Randy. I can do the Randy Newman voice.
So. You've got a friend in me. It's tough.
You've got your friend in you. Oh, excuse me. What was that? You've got your friend in you.
I used to be able to do it. You got a friend in me. Like he has that like really like dip down. He did Burn On for Major League, by the way, which
good song.
I don't know. Pixar, A Bug's Life. I like the Bug's Life. See, that's like it's 13 on my rankings, but I did like A Bug's Life. I wouldn't mind seeing that story continued. Like it wouldn't make me mad.
give me Ants too.
This
I know you're an Ants guy.
We got to recast the main ant.
I would like, what about A Bug's Life, Ants, and B movie crossover?
Just every bug movie, throw it into one.
You guys, yeah, just two DreamWorks movies and a Pixar movie. You guys know about the DreamWorks face, right? You've seen that picture about the DreamWorks face? Just Google DreamWorks face and do an image search on it. And it's just a collage of all the DreamWorks main characters with the same fucking expression on their face.
Yeah, they all look the exact same.
they're all like had this like half smile with one eyebrow raised, like, oh, yeah. I'm up to no good, but I'm also a good guy. I'm a feisty, rebellious do-gooder with a little bit of an attitude. See?
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, like even like Pixar has a look for sure, but they seem to like vary a little bit. And actually the Disney animated ones have that same thing, like Wreck-It Ralph, Moana, Frozen, they all look very similar. But yeah, the DreamWorks one is pretty funny. It's more like a boxy animation. I think that's what kind of
DreamWorks also tries to make their character look a little bit like the voice actor too. They've been guilty of that. They've done that with trying to think. definitely Shark's Tale.
Oh, for sure. They tried to make it look like Will Smith. And I can even see it with Jerry and Barry B. Benson, the B from
Barry.
B movie. Fucking B movie, man. What a fucked up movie. Like just straight up messed up movie.
She fucks the human. Or he fucks the human.
He just does. Known.
Well known fact.
Oh man. I got a couple more, then we gotta get into subreddit of the week. Let's see here. All right, we'll just do one more. Would you rather rewatch a movie with someone who knows every fact about it and keeps telling you, or someone who knows nothing and keeps asking you questions? I think that's pretty easy for me. I'd rather just get the questions. I hate the guy that shouts out. We had a friend back in college who would do that, like at the end of, or like in Iron Man 2, he's like, oh, it's Captain America's shield. That's Captain America's shield. They're like, and there was one with Thor. He's like, that's Thor's hammer. It's like, all right, just keep it to yourself. Like it's okay. You don't need to explain to everyone that you know all these little things, which happened, I'm sure, for Star Wars as well. It's like, hey, it's the Cantina guys, which, by the way, something we skipped over is apparently they want to make a Mos Eisley movie with the Cantina. Pass. Like,
who's the owner, the expanded universe owner? I sent the picture to you guys. He was a Wookiee with a mustache. So I know what you're saying. Like, how could a Wookiee have a mustache? They're all hair, but he has a strip of hair that's gray in the approximate shape of a mustache.
What would the movie be? Would it be like an 8 Mile version of like the Cantina Band song, like the Cantina Band? Like, what do you even fucking do with that? Or like some sort of like drunk movie?
No, it'd be like one of those movies where there's like 8 different stories happening around the cantina and they all come together in the climax. Like all the stories intertwine and it's like at the end you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It's like
something fresh. like Clue or something where they have to figure something out in the cantina, like something goes down.
So we cut off this guy's arm. No, we saw it. It was the bearded guy with the robes. We got to figure it out. No, he told us he didn't cut off his arm. We didn't see anything.
Fucking Chewbacca with a mustache, the Wookiee with a mustache, is just absurd. What a ridiculous look. And he's got like a down vest on too. Like he's basically dressed like Han Solo.
Didn't even give him like a Groucho Marx like eyeglass or something. That's like, it's just the mustache. They should at least give him a better disguise.
The expanded universe in the fan fiction around that is the single greatest argument against this Last Jedi remake. I'm sorry. It's not the whole concept of that remake is the single greatest argument. It argues against itself, but like crowdsourcing ideas for Star Wars, what you get is a Wookiee with a mustache. So that's what the Star Wars fans really want to know. They don't want to know the big questions. They're like, well, who owns the Mos Eisley Cantina? Well, you see, he's a Wookiee with a mustache.
And they want to dedicate like 20 minutes of the movie to something stupid like that, like exposition wise.
And I mean, let's not forget the one thing that you can always argue against the expanded universe of Star Wars is fucking Skippy the Jedi droid, is that there's a whole storyline that the droid that explodes in A New Hope has the Force and is a Jedi and sensed Luke having the Force and being who he was, and then he blew up on purpose so R2 could like go to him. So like, hate on Last Jedi you want. If you hate it, like you are allowed to dislike or like any movie you want, but let's not pretend every Star Wars fan has a great idea, because Skippy the Jedi droid is such a complete crock of bullshit that like, that's what I expect a Last Jedi remake to be, something just as stupid as that.
So he said he blew up on purpose early? I think he's taking a page out of my book. I know that story very well. Yeah, you know, go a little too quickly, jump the gun, just say like, yeah, actually it was the Force. So it's not my fault.
I was about to seriously answer your question just there.
The best Wookieepedia entry is for Sissori Vader, who is a Sissori Vader was a changeling entity who lived on the planet Tatooine. Its true form was that of a giant scorpion with red glowing eyes, but it could turn into the shape of Sith Lord Darth Vader.
So he's a cosplayer.
But you know where they got this from? It was from a 1987 Star Wars video game. So they had taken a scorpion character who could turn into Vader from a one-off video game and said, it's got to have lore. We got to put lore behind this.
It's fucking The Rock Scorpion King.
Oh, they're just some bad stuff, man. I think there's like a crying mountain too. Like there's one story with like Ewoks, but there's like a mountain that cries and has a face. Like there's a lot of bad stories. All right, subreddit of the week. We promised this. We said we wouldn't kill it, so we're just gonna do it, you know, here and there. Maybe it comes every Sunday. Maybe it doesn't. We'll see. We'll see how this one goes, because it's tough to top the Blacklist subreddit. Do you guys have the subreddit pulled up?
I want you to do the reading from it and bring up the topics, and then I can rip on them.
So I will read the topics. If the topic sounds interesting, you can tell me to dive into it, and then I'll read what some of the posts are. So if you're listening along, please visit right now.
Let me add Reddit. This.
Yep.
Don't go there and post.
Yeah.
Not a big deal, but we want to observe these subreddits without
self-realizing, you know, it like them.
Yeah, like we don't want them to know we're observing them. It we're not making fun of anybody. We're just studying communities online when they dive into minutia.
I'm already
I already went through this whole fucking Reddit already. I already finished it.
All right, hang on. Okay, here's Trill's gonna fucking die. Yeah, because also the Blacklist subreddit found out about our segment and they were very nice. They laughed. They were like, actually, what they said is like true. Like, it was all good fun. But I'm sure there's a subreddit one day that won't think it's funny. So yes. All right, go to reddit.com/r/Olive Garden. That's the Reddit we're on today. We're on the Olive Garden subreddit today. All right, here's the first one. And this is nowhere near as active as the Blacklist subreddit. That one has a lot more people in it, but there are a lot of posts. All right, here's the first one. Okay, let's get this going. What Olive Garden item do you miss most? Personally, I think it was a travesty that shrimp mezzaluna is still not a thing, or not still a thing. You mean to open that or move on, Trill?
So is that like, right, let me ask this. From you just kind of skimming the Reddit, this isn't an ironic appreciation of Olive Garden. These are Olive Garden fanatics, like diehards. This is serious. So I guess I can appreciate that because I also like Olive Garden. I don't know if I like Olive Garden enough to post about it, but to each their own. What are some of the menu items that people miss? Because I don't know. Like when I go to Olive Garden, I keep it fairly traditional. I get the soup and I get the salad and the breadsticks and then maybe some lasagna or something like that. So like, what are these menu items they took away?
There's two replies.
Oh, okay. Well,
it says, this one says, I love the raspberry white chocolate cheesecake so much. I started trying copycat recipes online. Aside from that, the meatball pizza, was amazing. It was my go-to order during my lunch break. The meatball pizza bowl thing they replaced it with is nowhere near as good. So that's like the only reply, I think. But I'll read some other ones.
This
down
is probably the
list here. The
most polite and just very cordial community online that I think I can.
There's
ever
a lot
imagine.
Of there's a lot of AMAs. There's one that says, I'm a busser at Olive Garden AMA. I'm an Olive Garden server AMA. Let's open those up. Let's see what the questions were. Okay, there were no answers there. It's like, do you get free food? Which reminds me of, do you get free food reminds me of, who is the basketball team that got tweeted the question, do y'all have laptops?
Y'all have laptops, yeah, the Jazz.
Where's that one? Oh, I'll read it off the thing you sent. OG employees, bitch with me. I fucking hate that place. I mostly work on the line, but I can do all the prep list, bus, host salad, bread, blah. I just want to complain with people other than the ones I work with.
The long response is very funny.
I think that's fair, though. You got
well,
employees.
Here, let's see the reply. Yeah. Let's see the reply. It could be your coworkers or managers that make you feel this way. Sorry you don't enjoy your job. I love mine, as I am a certified trainer at an Olive Garden Red Lobster Synergy. Everyone I work with feels like family. We care for each other and work very hard. I understand some people hate the restaurant business. Not for everyone, but take into consideration, it could be your coworkers and managers. Perhaps try a transfer or try front the house. I hope things turn out well. Best of luck.
What a very fucking nice. Cop. What a fucking cop.
I don't know, man.
Here, this is my favorite one I've seen.
That guy just, he wanted to complain about it, but another person liked it. And it goes back to my point. It's like, this is probably the nicest community online. Like, I get it. Like, I've worked in a restaurant before. It's hard work. Like, service employees in that industry, like, definitely do not get the appreciation they deserve. But also at the same time, it's like, it's kind of wild to go onto Reddit where, I mean, unless you have like a burner account and say like, I hate working here in the sub that probably is monitored centrally by like the corporate that headquarters. Guy. Like, I'm just kind of like, oh, like that. That's just like, maybe not a good career move. But I also get the need to complain because, like, look, it's tough. I get it.
I'm surprised that replier wasn't like, hey, just curious, which chain do you work at? You know, maybe it's just your chain. Tell me the address and let me know. And then just fucking rat him out.
I like the Olive Garden Reddit. I might go there and post. I haven't eaten at Olive Garden in a while, but I could go back. The line's crazy. I've never been in a restaurant that has a longer wait at any time than Olive Garden.
This is a little disappointing. I expected more out of this subreddit.
I mean, that makes
I'm gonna have to call this segment. I think this segment is dead. I think that we can't recapture the magic of the original Blacklist segment.
Yeah, this might be it.
That was spontaneous, and we wanted to give it time to breathe, and we wanted to try it again. But the problem with like this is this seems like a bunch of people just being positive about their love for Olive Garden, and there's nothing to go off there. Like the Blacklist, at least like you just were like. It was kind of funny from a standpoint that we all have like nerdy obsessions and Blacklist is it for other people, but Olive Garden, I can get it. Olive Garden's delicious.
Disagree.
I like it. I think it's good, man. Yeah. You're not a fan? You guys live in New York. You guys have better access to better Italian food like Buca di Beppo.
I will say that. Oh, Jesus. I do like their breadsticks and their salad. I will say that. I
hate their breadsticks. It tastes like fucking salted cardboard.
You hate bread,
for sure. Oh, they're not an amazing taste, but I like dipping it in their little sauce. I mean, I haven't been there in probably 8 years, maybe more.
You guys ever been to a Fazoli's?
No.
Yes.
It's like a fast food Fazoli's version of Olive Garden. It's probably just as good. I don't know.
They call for like, someone that loves Olive Garden.
Like the weird Poetry Slam kids used to do a little like get together at Fazoli's back in high school.
They had unlimited breadsticks. They used to just give you out unlimited breadsticks and you used to go down to the main counter, but then they had someone come out with a basket to pass them around and started having someone dictate when you shall receive the breadsticks.
Here, I'm going to show Ken Jack what Fazoli's looks like really quickly. They have have some sort of like pizza baked spaghetti. Then they have like this. Some weird. Look at their pizza too. Their pizza is egregious. Look at that. It's just.
Wait, so Tro, you like this place?
Yeah.
Look. This is vile.
I like Olive Garden and I like this place. I'm fine with it. I'm a very, very easy to please individual.
No, but that's like food poisoning.
You know how like everyone was posting that clip of Anthony Bourdain and what he said about beer? And they're like, you know, anti-beer snobs. Like I'm that for people who are anti-fast food or casual dining chains, I think. It's like sometimes it's serviceable.
I still think that like Anthony Bourdain could distinguish like a bad beer from that among like common blue collar beers.
Probably. Don't know. But that was an imperfect analogy. I'll just let it slide for this.
It's a great comment. Like all time quote. I love that.
I'd start going back and watching some Parts Unknown here and there.
Great show.
Great show. So yeah. I really like I rewatched the one in Quebec. Montreal and Quebec City. It was really, really interesting.
I mean he's a complete loss. Like that's just absolutely disappointing. He was incredible to watch. I just talked about food in a way that like, you know, that you want to watch. I like No Reservations as well. That's how I first got onto him was No Reservations. That's where I first learned about Anthony Bourdain. Rest in peace. So that's it. That's the show. Sorry, the Reddit thing didn't quite work out. Maybe we'll find one that we really like one day. We'll keep looking, but this Reddit segment may be off with the Star Wars story movies. It's shelved. We're just shelving it. We're reassessing. We'll give it a try again. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up? Next week, Tag and Jurassic World. Then we're going to do the thing where we try to figure out everyone's guilty pleasure kind of movies, but more so movies that you like that critics hate. And then we'll a little competition. But anything else before we go, guys?
Nothing it for me. Have a good week at the box office.
Yeah, go watch Tag.
That's my new exit, right? You know, it's like I'm trying to loot movies into it. This is not working out.
Something right. Like, what was the one in Anchorman? Like, that's the way the cookie crumbles? Something like that. More catchy.
And that's the news.
And that's the free pasta carbonara from Pasta Pass Olive Garden, which I love even though it stinks.
All right, Trill Bones, you have 5 seconds to come up with something. You're going to close the show. See Tag, see Jurassic World. We will talk to you on Thursday.
Movies. Oh,
in, man, I'm fucked up. Wait, baby, it's about to go down. Order another round. Don't get nervous now. 10-01's around. Shining up that way. Bad bitch on my ass. Time ain't going nowhere. Long as you right here. Pour my lean and juice. Braid my hair like Snoop. Gliding in my coupe. Ain't no bitch like you. Riders with me too. Die and live by you. Die and live by you. Yeah.
Finally, I can move how I want and I need. Pick the top and I'm zoning.